As a pastor, I learned a long time ago that that it's really wise to kind of keep my politics to myself. So I've really done that. And I think the primary reason for that, for me at least, is because the one who calls the shots on for me personally is neither Republican nor Democrat nor independent nor libertarian or anything like that. There was a while, though, years ago, when I used to call myself a radical moderate, which is kind of a contradiction of terms, isn't it? I mean, how can you be radically in the middle? But it kind of worked for me for a while. I said, here I stand, and you can't make me move one way or the other. I'm going to be firmly, radically in the middle. But of course, the problem with that is that that when you're in the middle like that, you wind up getting attacked from both sides. You get called a coward and a sellout, and they say, you've got to pick a side. You have to pick a side. And I didn't want to. I still don't want to. It's kind of who I am. But what I would do is I would just kind of sit back and I would just say, hey, let the extremes on both sides just kind of attack and destroy each other. But then I realized, I had this kind of aha moment when I realized that I was doing the same thing to them that they were doing to me. I was judging them and condemning them for judging and condemning each other. And it was at that point that I realized that really my best bet is to just focus on what my highest value and my highest goal is, and that is to be like Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple. That doesn't mean that I don't think political thoughts or that I don't have opinions one way or the other about what's right, what's wrong in our politics. It's just that what I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this also, but what I've noticed is that the people I know who are most authentically seeking to be like Jesus and to follow him in their lives oftentimes are hard to put into a political category. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason for that is that Jesus himself is really hard to put into one box or another. And if you pay attention to Scripture, and I recommend that you do pay attention to Scripture, if you do, what you're going to see is that he's kind of all over the map. So for instance, when you hear Jesus talk about the poor and taking care of the sick and the outcast and the marginalized and those that society has basically called irredeemable, and they did, prostitutes and lepers and lots of other folks, tax collectors, he sounds kind of liberal in a way. And when he goes up against the Pharisees and the religious leaders, he almost sounds like kind of a hippie protester. But on the other hand, when he talks about marriage, and when he talks about divorce, and when he talks about how we shouldn't even let the thought of adultery enter into our minds, he starts sounding pretty conservative in a lot of ways. But it doesn't stop there. There's lots of other categories Jesus falls into too. When he talks about prayer and healing, and he talks about living in faith, he comes across as kind of charismatic and kind of mystical. And when he talks about turning the other cheek, he almost comes across as a pacifist. And when he talks about loving each other and even loving your enemies, he sounds kind of like a romantic, like somebody who truly believes that love can conquer all. But occasionally, Jesus comes across like what I would call a doomsday preacher. Way more often than you might think. Again, pay attention to Scripture, you're going to see Jesus, he never wore a signboard, you know, that says, repent, the end is near, but he talked about it a lot. That there would come a day when there would be a judgment, and there would be a sorting. And our Scripture reading for today falls into that category. One of actually eight parables in Matthew that takes on this theme. So we can't ignore the theme. It's there. So this is called the parable of the wheat and the tares. If you're more familiar with the King James version of it, I call it the wheat and the weeds. So Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, Then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now, this is one of just a couple of parables in the Gospels that Jesus then goes on to actually explain. So if you read the entire chapter 13, what you're going to find is near the end of that chapter, Jesus goes back and he says, "Okay, I want to tell you, this is what this meant." And he lays it out in a way that, you know, pretty much you would expect. He says, the wheat represents the children of the kingdom, and the weeds represent the children of the evil one, and the enemy is the devil, who's the one that sows the weeds among the wheat. And the harvest represents the final judgment, when God will sort it all out. And the wheat will go to wherever the wheat is going to go, and they will shine like the sun, he says. But the weeds, they will be gathered together, and they'll be thrown into the fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says. So it's not a pretty picture for the weeds. So we've got this kind of grim image and this warning of eternal punishment and all that. But again, it's in the same gospel from the same guy who said in his Sermon on the Mount, God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is the same guy who says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right there. So if we think it's hard to put Jesus into a category now, as we look back at these texts, well, you can be sure that it was hard to put him into a category back when he was telling these things too. A lot of his disciples wanted Jesus to be, more direct leader. They wanted him to be a little bit more aggressive. They wanted him to be a military leader, a Messiah like King David was. They wanted him to go in, and they wanted him to take on their Roman occupiers and just wipe them out and push them out and really take on anybody that might stand in their way. That's what he wanted, what they wanted. And of course, we remember what Jesus said about that. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Of course, that didn't stop them from accusing him of being a revolutionary, of being a king in the worldly sense of the word, and it didn't stop them from killing him for that very reason. But that is not what Jesus was about, ever. So what did he want? That's the question I think that we have to ask. I think what Jesus wanted more than anything else was for us to listen to him and to follow him. Jesus wanted us, his disciples, to go and do the same things that he was doing. And so for the rest of the summer, that's what we're going to be doing with this sermon series that started today. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and we're going to listen to what he says about being disciples, about following in his footsteps. And there's lots and lots of really good material for that. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is this parable of the wheat and the weeds. And one of the primary lessons that I take from this parable is that the world and the people in it aren't always as they seem. Because sometimes the good guys can look like bad guys, and sometimes the bad guys can look like good guys. And that's a problem for us, because most of us, we prefer things to be black and white. So we want our heroes. This will be good for some of our folks here. We want our heroes to be like Luke Skywalker, and we want our villains to look like Darth Vader, right? We want it just obvious. Or maybe for some other folks, we want the good guys to wear the white cowboy hats and the bad guys to wear the black cowboy hats. We want it to be obvious, but Jesus says, no, it's not that easy. Rarely is it going to be that easy, or that obvious, for that matter. And therefore, Jesus tells his disciples that we are to be like that smart farmer who doesn't try to pull up the weeds and inadvertently tear out some good stuff. We're just supposed to let it all kind of grow up together, which, again, is kind of hard for us. Pastor Brian last night told a story that I'm swiping from him because I liked it so much, about a church that they decided they were going to take this weed problem seriously, and they were going to eradicate all the sinners from their church. And so they got started. They started off with about 100 families or so in this church, and by the time they were done, the only people left was the pastor and his wife. And that was it. That was it. That was all that's left. And then they asked the pastor's wife, and she said, yeah, she said, it's all that we have left now is just John and me, and I'm not so sure about him. That's how it is, unfortunately. We're all kind of a pastor said, Pastor Brian said, we're all kind of a mix of wheat and weeds. We're all sinners. And that's why and we can't see into the hearts of others. Even folks that you might think, that person is definitely bound for the place where the weeds go, but the sheep and the goats, same thing. Sheep go one place, the goats go another really unpleasant place. But we can't see the hearts of others. We're not capable of judging. And that's why I've always I agree with Tim LaHaye. You may remember he's the one that wrote the Left Behind series about the final judgment and all of that. He said, I condemn no one. Judging the hearts of others is way above my pay grade. And that's always been my philosophy too. We can't go there. We can't do that. But having said that, there's also no denying that Jesus did talk about that final day of judgment. In Matthew's gospel, he had 8 parables alone that covers that, including the wheat and the weeds and the sheep and the goats. So obviously, Jesus, this isn't a secondary thing. This is a core teaching of Jesus in the gospels. So we have to pay attention to it. And in almost every case, his message to his disciples, his message to us and to the church is the same. Don't be anxious. He said, don't be anxious about it, but be on guard. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled. Don't let that day catch you unaware. Don't be asleep. Be awake. Be alert. Be prepared. That's the message that we see over and over again. So how do we do that? Well, I think there's actually a lot of answers, and it's a complex question and with a complex answer, but certainly I think one of the most important things that we can do is take that critical eye that we so often want to focus on others and focus it on ourselves. Jesus put it this way: first take the plank out of your own eye, then you can clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye, from your neighbor's eye. I think when we're working on ourselves, when we allow that critical eye to focus on ourselves, we just don't really have a whole lot of time to be worrying about fixing others or judging others. And I think likewise, the more we recognize our own need for grace, our own need for forgiveness, the more humble we're going to be. And that's an absolute necessary part of being a disciple, I think, is humility. And it reminded me of one of my favorite poems. I knew I needed to get this worked in here somewhere because it kind of speaks for itself. It goes like this. I dreamed of heaven the other night, and the pearly gates swung wide, and an angel with a halo bright ushered me inside. And there, to my astonishment, stood folks I judged and labeled as quite unfit, of little worth, and spiritually disabled. Indignant words rose to my lips, but were never set free, for every face showed stunned surprise. Not one expected me. The parable of the wheat and the weeds tells us two things. One, it tells us that things aren't always as clear as they might seem. And therefore, we really can't judge the hearts of others. That's just, it's not our job. God will sort it out. And that's the other thing. That's the second thing that we learn. There will come a time when the waiting will be over and the sorting will begin. And so there will be a final judgment when God sorts that all out. But in the meantime, we live in that uncomfortable, uncertain time in between. You see that? We live in that uncomfortable, uncertain time in between now and whenever that end comes. And so our job is to be awake, it's to be alert. But more than anything, our job is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. That's our job. That's what we do. We follow Jesus. And I believe the more we do that, the more we're going to learn to live like him, the more we're going to learn to love like him. And those weeds, whoever they are, wherever they are, might just take notice and change. In my garden, in my yard, that would be impossible for a weed to become a flower or wheat. But in God's kingdom, all things are possible. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your love that has been freely extended to us. We know that we don't deserve it. We know that that often we are more like weeds than we are like that healthy wheat. But we pray that you will come, that you'll be a part of our lives, that we will learn to walk with Jesus, that we'll learn to be like him in every way. Guide us and direct us as we seek to do that. For we ask it in Jesus' name.